One day when I was at his office, he was like, oh, have you ever heard of the internet? And this is before anyone had ever heard of the internet. Okay. This is in the 90s. And I was like, no. He goes, come over here. You can use my computer. He goes, type in anything you want to know, and it's going to come up.
My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Women in Tech Podcast. I'm currently in Los Angeles in the Santa Monica Sound Studio celebrating the most incredible women in tech here in Los Angeles. And next up, I have Linda. Hi, Linda.
Hi.
So go ahead and formally introduce yourself to everyone and tell us about your company.
Okay, I'm Linda Tran, and my partner, Kyle Polich, is a data scientist. So he kind of started this company, Data Skeptic, and basically it's a data science consulting on one hand, but also it's not in competition with you, but it's also a podcast. It started 4 years ago as a podcast.
That's awesome. It doesn't feel like there's tons of podcasts. I love it. Tell us about your podcast.
So the podcast actually has two different formats. One is kind of more speaking to more basic data science, which is mainly stats principles and introduces you to basic topics. And the other one is actually interviewing experts and is a little bit more academic. So it toggles between the two formats every week. So whether you're kind of an intro or you're trying to thinking about stats or data science, you can listen to the easier ones with which I'm on. It's called the mini episodes. Or if you're like, oh, I have a PhD, I know what I'm talking about, you could listen to the long format ones, the interviews.
And what is the name of the podcast?
The podcast is Data Skeptic, the same as the company.
So. Amazing. Amazing. So you guys check out Data Skeptic. We'll include it in the show notes as well so people could click over. So tell us, when did you and your partner come together? How did you formulate this company? And where in LA are you guys based?
So we work out of our home office. And so how did this form? It's actually my husband. So Kyle Polich is my husband. And we met many years ago at business.com in tech as well. And from there, he's kind of just this quirky. He has glasses. So I don't know. I don't know if he's going to listen to this. But, you know, if you can think of your typical kind of like nerd, he looks kind of like that. But anyways, on top of that, he loves podcasts. And it's not something I'm into, but he's listened to podcasts and he loves them so much. He speeds them up and listens to them like 3 or 4 times as fast so that he could get through as many podcasts as possible with his spare time.
I do that with more educational podcasts.
Like so, it sounds like it's a thing that people do. But in my head, I feel like you're totally just distorting the intention.
Well, I think it depends. I think something, if it's educational or informational, just power through the information. So, a podcast like Sex, Death, and Money, which is one of my favorite podcasts, that's more storytelling. So I don't want to lose the art in the story. But, and I think it could go both ways. But yeah, a lot of people do that. So now you offer data science services as well as you guys create the podcast, or you just do the podcast?
Yeah, it's a two pronged kind of arm. The podcast is interesting because it's a lead generator, right? It connects us to the community. It's the community that, you know, Kyle has built up over 4 years.
Right.
And then the secondary arm, the data science consulting, has really just been full force within the last year. So we're a completely new data science consulting company.
And now for a couple things, what is your role within the company?
So I like to say it this way, but Kyle gets to do what he's good at, which is data science,
right,
and everything that goes along with it, which is kind of the strategy, the programming and advising and consulting. And then really he brought me on board and he was like, I want you to do everything else. Yeah. Which at the time I did not know enough about running a small business. So I was like, yeah, sounds easy enough, right? Everything else can't be that hard. So, but in reality, everything else is actually me learning everything else. So he gets to do what he's good at and I get to learn and do, I feel like fumbling sometimes, like learning how to do taxes and accounting and like basic small business practices. So I am,
every day is a challenge.
Yeah. So the first year has been really, really tough for me, but I feel like I'm over the biggest hump and we're moving into taxes, year one taxes. So I'm almost done.
So you've been in tech for 10 years. When would you say is the first moment that you recognize you had a passion for technology?
There was never actually a moment, but there was a moment actually. Okay. So I worked at Trailer Park, which is an ad agency in Hollywood. And there I was a mobile app project manager.
Right.
So basically I was just focused on Android and iOS mobile applications, which at the time, not that many people were doing mobile apps and there weren't that many mobile app project managers. And it was, I suspect it was a little tough for them to even find a project manager who had experience using a smartphone at the time. And then, so when I got the job, I had only had my smartphone probably less than a year, but I loved it. I was a late adopter to my smartphone. It was an Android. And when I got the job, my boss, my manager, he goes, I'm so glad you used a smartphone. And that was a moment that I was like, you know, I don't know why it took me so long to use a smartphone, but it was kind of like a domino effect. If I hadn't gotten my first smartphone, then I would never had interviewed for that job and I would have never gotten that job.
That's how I feel about podcasting. If I never got an iPhone, I wouldn't have become a podcaster.
That makes so much sense, right?
It sucks, but, you know, Apple's still dominant for distribution for podcasts. It's so crazy how much a phone can impact the trajectory of our profession. It's
our life, my life. It's changed my life.
It's wild. And so, okay, walk us through the flow of your tech career. Where did you start and then how did it flow forward?
Yeah. So my background, I actually didn't know what I wanted to do exactly, but I was a studio art and political science major. But growing up in my household, my dad...
Which was where?
Oh, I grew up in Florida and North Carolina. So my dad he's an early adopter of technology. So he would constantly bring home computers or like video game, like consoles. And even if they were totally outdated very quickly or no one ever used them ever, he kept bringing home technology because he always wanted to tinker with it. And so one day when I was at his office, he was like, oh, have you ever heard of the internet? And this is before anyone had ever heard of the internet.
Okay? Right.
This is in the 90s. And I was like, no. And he's trying to entertain me because I'm just playing at his office and he's trying to work.
Yeah.
So he gives me he goes, come over here. You can use my computer. He goes, type in anything you want to know.
Yeah.
And it's going to come up. And at the time, the search engine was Yahoo. And I'm a kid. And I was like, I have no idea what I want. But I go, what about Garfield? And I type in Garfield. And they actually back then had all these Garfield comics. I was like, oh my gosh, it's like reading the paper of Garfield, but all at once. I don't have to wait for the next paper to come out.
Right.
So I literally sat there the rest of the time and read all of the Garfield comics. But okay, back to that.
That's so cute.
What it means is after that, my dad then brought the internet to our house.
Uh-oh.
And that was only because he worked for the University of Florida.
Right.
And so we had the internet before anyone in our class did. And I would tell my friends, I'd be like, yeah, we got something called a modem. And we're doing the internet. And my friends were like, what is that? And I'd be like, I don't know, just come over. And we would start chatting. We actually started chatting. My sister and I were like chatting in chat rooms. And back then, you actually had to refresh the chat room to see the next message. So I remember both me and my sister would be hovered over the computer and be like, hey, refresh. But that was our childhood. I didn't really think it was based around technology. I just thought that was our childhood. So flash forward, I graduate college and... Right. I had a thought that maybe I wanted to be an artist and I was doing some photography, but you know, being creative is really tough to do what you want while getting paid. Because the whole point of getting paid is you're doing what they want.
Right.
And at the end of the day, it's not as creative as I thought in my head being an artist would be. Like, I think you have to be a really wealthy artist or really lucky or long-time artist to actually be able to work on what you want to work on and get paid. So I was like, wow, I really need to just cover my basic bills, which is like food, health, rent, you know.
Right.
And so I was like, okay, I was like, I don't have to be an artist, I decided, because the money was not there. I decided I didn't want to struggle for 5 years. And I was like, I will do anything that I consider creative. And I don't care what it is, as long as I think it's creative in any way.
Right.
So it was a very broad thing. So my first job was actually in print. I kind of worked at this small print graphic design shop as I started as her assistant. Then she promoted me to account executive. But here, account executive is kind of like a project manager, but more, it was very easy because it was very just print. Print's a little bit easier to project manage. And then I worked there. But then the economy turned really bad and I got laid off because obviously
this was all
print.
Still in Florida.
This is in Santa Monica. I moved out after college. I went to college at University in North Carolina. And after college, I moved out to LA because I wanted to. I didn't have a job, nothing. And I was like, I'm going, because I knew it was a more creative city.
Yeah.
So I got laid off and it took me at least a year, I think, to find my next job, because no one wants to hire someone who just graduated from college, worked 2 to 3 years in a print graphic design shop.
Yeah.
But funny enough, business.com was launching a really heavy content-based weddings website and a home improvement website. So they needed someone who could work both with their photo editor, which, ding, 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 my background's in photography.
Right.
And be kind of like a project manager. So the position title was, I think it's production coordinator at the time.
Yeah.
So I got that, got on board there. And then the company was, I can't remember how big, it was around 300 at the time. And they were rapidly growing and expanding at the time.
Yeah.
And then from there, that's where I learned. I'm like, oh, there's this profession called a project manager. And I would sit in meetings and I saw them and I would go to lunch and ask them questions. And I was like, okay, that's what I want. And I decided I wanted to be a project manager.
And then the journey goes on.
Well, I mean, from a high level, after business.com, I got into retail, worked at American Apparel, managing really the customer-facing retail website. And then from there, I went to ad agencies like Trailer Park, Petrol Advertising. And then I've worked at BCBG, which is another retail side. And then I also continued my retail with Dollar Shave Club.
And what would you say throughout your whole journey was a huge obstacle that you successfully overcame?
I think the obstacles that are the biggest, I haven't fully overcome. like one example is that, you know, obviously I'm a female, but I'm very blunt and straight to the point kind of person.
Right.
So one of the things that I struggle with is trying to be myself, be my genuine self. But obviously I don't want to offend anyone.
Right.
And when I mean offend, I mean if I say something in a way that gets in the way that we're working and we can't get work done, we can't get alignment. And so that's something that I constantly struggle with. And that's not something that I've 100% overcome. I think part of it is that a lot of people view women as, you know, we're just supposed to be very nice, smiley. I'm not a smiley person. We're supposed to be so friendly. I can be friendly. But I mean, I wouldn't say the first 10 words about me is friendly is not top 10. You know, I'm not any of those kinds of things. I'm actually, I think aggressive is an interesting term because I feel like I grew up fighting for everything. So it's not that I'm aggressive, but it's like more I'm a fighter.
Yeah.
But people view that as aggressive. And I think aggressive and female, that's in their head, it like blows their mind.
Yeah.
And so it's very hard for them. And me as a project manager, I give people like direction. I check in on people. And that can be a very touchy subject. You know, when people are like, why is this like lady checking in on me? Why is she asking for a deadline? Why is she asking me to do this? And so it's just really balancing, like, how do I come across? What do people expect of me? Their expectations? And how do they align or not align?
Right.
So that, and then knowing, is there something that I need to change because it would make my life easier?
Right. It's really powerful to recognize our own strengths and weaknesses and how we're perceived and then adapt accordingly in a way that feels organic for us. Like I'm a caretaker kind of person. So I have to balance the boundaries of caretaking. I like being that way, but at the same time, I'm not trying to be that way. It's just how my brain's wired. So it was important for me to identify, like, okay, this is my personality type, whether I like it or not. So to what extent do I want to apply that in business world? And to what extent do I want to apply that in my personal life? And where are the boundaries so that I'm also taking care of myself first? That's always been a huge one, is that I typically take care of others before I take care of myself.
I think that definitely goes with me, too. Like, I kind of feel like I was raised where asking yourself, like, what do I need, was actually viewed as selfish.
Yeah.
So totally. That's one of the things that I'm working on really hard, is take care of myself. Yeah. So that I can take care of others better, actually.
100%. We can't. That's what I had to learn the hard way. If I want to genuinely serve others, I need to take care of myself first, or I'm inadequate serving others. So yes, thank you so much for hanging out with the Women in Tech podcast. You are awesome. Anything else you wanted to share before we wrap up?
I love it. Thank you.
You're welcome. I will talk to you guys, see you guys, hear you guys in the next episode. Remember to say hello at Women in Tech Show on all the socials, Women Tech Show on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. Bye.
This episode of the Women in Tech Show is powered by UpGuard. UpGuard's discovery engine brings visibility to complex IT environments, enabling teams to quickly identify risk, confirm compliance, and make business safer. They are proud supporters and employers of incredible women in tech.
The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com, and just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you.